If you have your Bible, I want you to turn to Psalms 100. I'm going to read Psalms 100, verses 1 through 5 eventually. And then when I start reading it, you'll say he will never get done reading it. But nevertheless, turn there in your Bibles, Psalms 100. I'm going to read verses 1 through 5. Let's pray. Father, we do thank you for this day. We thank you for the opportunity to come to your house and worship you. We know that, Lord, that you are a God who is worthy of all praise and acceptation. We thank you for your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, for this great salvation you so freely give to us in him. Father, we thank you that your grace covers a multitude of sins. And we thank you, Father God, that you have, in your marvelous and wonderful love, reached out to us, giving us this great gift. Be with us now as we look at your word. Teach us that we might be a thankful people. Thankful for all that you do. All that we receive from your hand. Be with us now. Lord, if decisions need to be made even in this service, I pray they'll be done so to honor the Lord Jesus. For it's in his precious name I pray. Amen. You know, my dad was in the military for 28 years. He was a first sergeant, and many times throughout his career, he would have to go someplace where they would call it remote. That meant that we couldn't go as a family. We were able to go, for example, to Germany for 4 years with my dad. And that was kind of fun. But there were many places that he went that we couldn't go. And one of those occasions, my dad was sent to South Korea. And so we went to stay with my grandmother. To say the least, things were kind of tight. Although my mom was supposed to get an allotment from my dad, you know, from his paycheck, she got a check. They didn't send it immediately. And so then she got a check, which was supposed to be for 3 months, but it was for only 1 month. And then, of course, she didn't receive another paycheck for several months. And so, you know, it was a little bit tough and a little bit hard. And so we had to watch what we're doing. And so Thanksgiving was coming up, and I could hear my mom and my grandpa and grandma talking about Thanksgiving, what we could get for Thanksgiving, how we'd make a dinner, and those kind of things. We had a farmer that lived down the road not too far for us, who had geese. And he had, my grandpa said, a real nice big fat goose. And we could get that goose for the exorbitant price of 75 cents. But, you know, we had to watch our money on that. Oh, by the way, have you ever ate goose? Praise the Lord for it. But anyway, so we got the big fat goose, and my mom made sweet potato casserole. Does anybody like sweet potato casserole? Okay, I guess I was probably about 6 or 7 when I ate mine. Haven't any sense. And so things were tough. We had the goose, we had the sweet potato casserole, we had all kinds of other stuff, most of which I didn't care for. But nevertheless, there was food on the table. But we were going to a very small church not too far from us, and the church had a food drive, and we took some stuff to the church for the food drive. And they asked, you know, during that period of time, does anybody need any help? This is what the food drive is for. We want to help families that are struggling. Well, you know, we never raised our hand. I think that's probably the way of it. But we never raised our hand. But the last day of school, as I was getting off from school on the bus, you know, run over the bridge to the house, and as I came up to the porch, there were a whole bunch of bags sitting on the porch. There were 3 bags full of food. And so the church, I suspect, had thought, oh, these folks need a little help. And so some of the things that we ate for Thanksgiving that I actually liked, green beans, that was there. Somebody gave us a bag of potatoes. I love mashed potatoes. So we had mashed potatoes and we had that other orange stuff. But anyway, it was good stuff, you know, and thank the Lord for it. You know, the Thanksgiving tradition that we celebrate as Americans sprang from hardship. It didn't spring from affluence. It sprang from hardship. The Pilgrims that first year in America, it was absolutely terrible for them. Half of the people died of starvation and disease. So when you hear these folks pontificate about these white guys who sold the country and stole from the Indians and all that kind of stuff, just remember that half of them died the first year because they starved to death. The next year, of course, there was a bountiful harvest. And so they set aside not one day, but 3 days. 3 days in December to have special services ending with a great supper. And they wanted to rejoice in what God had given them and provided for them and his goodness and his grace. You know, many, many years later, in 1789, President George Washington proclaimed November 26th as a national day of thanksgiving, a day for us to look towards what God had done for us in thanksgiving. You know, he was particularly thinking about the Declaration of Independence from our country as we celebrated together this country that God had allowed us to be free in. In 1863, Abraham Lincoln revived the tradition because it had kind of fallen off of being thankful again. And in 1941, Congress then decreed that the fourth Thursday in the month of November be a national day of Thanksgiving. Thanksgiving to me has always meant family, probably like you, getting together, even if my dad couldn't be there. You know, maybe he was in Japan, maybe he was in Korea, maybe he was in Vietnam, maybe he was in Alaska, and he was in all those places, all those kind of times. But it was at those times that we got together and we were a family and we thanked the Lord. I can remember when my dad was in Vietnam, Cam Ranh Bay. We were in Missouri at that particular time, and we had a pretty good Thanksgiving celebration, and everything was tasty, and all those goodies were there. But you know, we waited up till 2 o'clock in the morning for something to happen. You know what it was? It was a call from my dad on what they called the watch line. Talked to my mother, my brother and myself, and my little sister. And you know what? That was what was special about that day, hearing my dad on that phone. It's the little things, isn't it? It's the little things. Look, even in the midst of hardship, and we all have hardship, we can find something to be thankful for if we would but look. For us as believers, I think we should see and understand that every day can be a day of thanksgiving. You know, with all my heart, I believe that we as a people, as a nation, have truly been blessed by God Almighty with bountiful blessings. You know, some Bible translators use these words. I want to read Psalms 100, the first verse, and then I want to read another way of translating that. Let me read the whole Psalm. Psalms 100, starting in verse 1. Make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all ye lands. You probably heard that verse before. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come to his presence with singing. Know ye that the Lord, he is God. It is he that has made us, and not we ourselves. We are his people and the sheep of his pasture. Enter into his gates with thanksgiving and into his courts with praise. Be thankful unto him and bless his name. For the Lord is good. His mercy is everlasting, and his truth endures to all generations. Oh, a great song. And you've probably heard that over and over and over again. But you've probably also heard another translation of that first verse. And you probably heard it on the radio. You may not have realized what it was, but that's what it was. It was a song on the radio, and it starts out, shout to the Lord. Shout for joy to the Lord. And it has something about my Jesus, my Savior. Lord, there's none like you. All of my days, I want to praise the wonders of your mighty love. I can't hardly keep from singing it. But in deference to Pastor Kim, I will not. Shout to the Lord, all the earth, let us sing. Power and majesty, praise to the King. Mountains bow down, and the seas shall roar at the sound of his name. Isn't that amazing? One verse, big, huge, beautiful song. Well, make a joyful noise unto the Lord. Verse 3 tells us, Know ye the Lord, he is God. It is he that has made us and not we ourselves. We are his people and the sheep of his pasture. Let me just kind of emphasize that a little bit to you, because I think to myself, what amazing thing this psalm is. Verse 4 says, enter his gates with thanksgiving in your hearts. Enter his courts with praise. Be thankful unto him and bless his name. Then verse 5 says, for the Lord is good, his mercy is everlasting, and his truth endures to all generations. You know, I think it's common for most people to compile a kind of a Christmas wish list. I don't know if you get those little advertisement papers at your house, but we get some of those at our house, and we save them because we give them to the kids and give them a marker or a pen and say, here, look at this stuff and circle what you want. What would probably be the best thing is to circle or X out what you don't want. But they have fun doing it, and we have fun looking at what they want to do. And then, of course, then we make New Year's resolutions, don't we? We make all those resolutions and make a list about all those kind of things that we're going to change in the New Year's. But we don't make a Thanksgiving list, do we? We don't do that. I don't wonder why. Well, here's a wish list for Thanksgiving that I found. I thought it was very appropriate. This lady writes, here's her wish list for Thanksgiving. For husbands who tackle small repair jobs around the house, which they immediately make into a bigger mess than it was before, to call the professional. Well, for most of us, that's the truth. So she was thankful there was someone to call after all that. It's amazing, isn't it? Someone has said, be thankful for teenagers. Now, some of you are thinking, I don't know about that. Be thankful for teenagers because they give you, as their moms and grandparents, a new opportunity to learn a whole nother language. Isn't that true? Yeah. And then someone has said, be thankful for smoke alarms because they let you know when the turkey is done. Someone else wrote, I'm thankful for taxes I paid. I read that and I thought, I'm still not done paying. But this person said, I'm thankful for taxes I paid because it means I had a job to pay taxes. Yeah. Mm-hmm. I'm thankful that I have a lawn that needs to be mowed, windows that need to be cleaned, gutters that need to be exercise of the leaves because that means I have a house to go home to. I'm thankful for the pile of dirty laundry scattered all over our house. I thought this was very appropriate because I have 3 grandbaby boys and that means I have loved ones close by. You know, I'm sure that such a list would include family. Thankful for their family, thankful for your friends, thankful for your health. Multitudes of things. A nation in spite of its many faults, thankful for. But most of all, I'm thankful that God condescended in his mercy and his grace to reach down to a sinner like me with the great salvation we have in Christ Jesus. You know, most people could not put on their thankful list maybe homes, health, employment, family. Maybe those things couldn't be put on there. They have no money and no place to go, no amusement except for what they might make for themselves. But you know, I've noticed one great asset that we all can have. And that is that boundless love of Christ in our lives. Poor in this world's goods, but rich in the things that really matter. Someone someday is going to say, the last shall be first, and the first shall be last. There's going to be that great reversal that God's going to bring. and he's going to make all things new. And that scale that everybody's worried about balancing out, he's going to throw it away, and you're not going to worry about it anymore. Thanksgiving Day, you know, it's kind of a distinctive holiday. It doesn't commemorate some sort of battle. It's not somebody's birthday. It's not some kind of anniversary. It's not anything like that. It's a very good thing to remember in this hurry, hurry, rush, rush world to pause and reflect and count our blessings. It's a good thing to do. And you do have some. Often, the more we have, the less we're thankful. You know, I think of Psalms 100 here that was inspired of God to remind Israel, you've come into the promised land. You've built homes. You've prospered. You've come to a land flowing with milk and honey. Certainly, I think we could say this is a land flowing with milk and honey. But don't forget me, the Lord says. Don't forget me. Don't forget all that I've given you. Don't forget that I've made all these things possible. You say, well, the psalmist was writing to Israel, not writing to America. Yeah, I think that's obviously true. But there are principles that are eternal. Make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all ye lands. All ye lands. The message of thanksgiving is so deep and so wide, it can apply to anyone and any land who will embrace the Lord God Almighty. That's a promise made to Israel, but to everyone as well. You know, it's sad that only actually Canada, the Philippines, Korea, and America have a Thanksgiving Day. Do you know that? Set aside for Thanksgiving. I believe there's something about giving thanks to God that breaks down barriers, walls between people. We begin to be reminded, maybe I should deal with this person a little bit differently. Maybe I ought to think about this a little bit longer. You know, years and years ago, right here at Calvary, there was a man who just got really upset with me. And you could understand why. It'd be easy to do that. But he got really upset with me, and it was kind of a prolonged spiritual battle for a long time. One of the ladies in our church, dear lady, she said, you know, Brother Mike, I can tell you're a little bit down. What does it show? Well, I guess it did. She said, here's what I want you to think about doing. She didn't name the problem, nor the person, or anything like that. She said, here's what I think you should do. She said, pray for that person or that thing that's bothering you. And she said, in that prayer, don't call down fire and brimstone. that's what I was thinking, that would be a good idea. Don't do that. Pray for them. And pray a blessing on them. Ooh. That last part, I don't know. They don't need a blessing. I need a blessing. They need a black eye. I need somebody to pick me up, you know. But I thought, well, you know, she's a very wise woman in the Lord. So I began to pray that way. And at first it was a little bit hard. Thank you, Lord, I could go on and on with all the models of the things that he'd done for me. But when I got to him, I thought, oh, I don't know anything, you know. But I started praying in general. Well, bless his poor, hard heart, and bless it real good. And you know what started happening? I don't know what God was doing in his life, but I can tell you what he was doing in my life. He was breaking that heart up. He was breaking my heart. He was telling me, you need to be thankful. You need to be thankful. What have you got to gripe about? What have you got to complain about? And so the more I asked a blessing on him, the greater blessing I got for me. And you know, eventually, when I get down on my knees and pray to the Lord, I actually look forward to that part. I actually had come to the place where I did not have any animosity. That root of bitterness had been ripped out of my life. And I was truly, generally asking that blessing of God in his life. What a marvelous and wonderful thing. It's amazing. I won't tell you that not too long ago, he sat right here in this church, right there. He said, "I love you, Brother Mike." He couldn't have said anything better to me in all my life. Because I know now, not only was God working with me, he was working with him. And of course, he was a stubborn, hard-hearted guy. It took a little longer. I'm just kidding, just kidding. But you know, Psalms 100 has the word Lord in it. Verse 1, verse 2, verse 3, and verse 5. Who is the Lord? Are you the Lord of your life? Or is he the Lord of your life? I think it's a good thing for us to remember who's really in charge. We grasp a hold of things and we wrestle with things, and we're supposed to. But in the final analysis, we're supposed to remember who God is. And it is God who's working. And it is, if there's going to be deliverance, it's going to come from God. If there's going to be a blessing, it's going to come from God. It's not going to come from you. So the basis for all thanksgiving is the Lord. In fact, the basis for everything in your life is the Lord. The very air you're breathing right now is a gift from him. Whether you have little or you have plenty, it all comes from the Lord's loving hand. You know, I once went into an office when Coach Gibbs were coming to town. He was going to have a thing up there at the Coliseum. And of course, he's a famous NASCAR owner, but he was a famous football coach. And he is a very strong Christian man. And so the opportunity came for us to go to that. And if we wanted some tickets for that or something like that, we had to go downtown to this law office of lawyers. Isn't it funny how we kind of think of certain groups and we go? So I was going downtown to this law office of lawyers. And I was thinking to myself, well, we need these 10 tickets and we got to get them there. And this guy is working on this project, you know, goobble, 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 and goobble, you know, down here in this law office. So I go in, and the receptionist lady is very nice and very friendly, and she says, "Oh yes, the tickets for the, yeah, I, you know, somebody, no, no, oh, wait a second." And so she pressed the button, and she said, somebody, one of the lawyers, "There's a pastor out here, and he's wanting some tickets, and I don't know what we're supposed to do exactly." He said, "Just a second," and he walked out, and he came over and said, "Pastor Mike, very good, where you at?" "Calvary Baptist." "Okay, great, great. I go to such and so." "Okay," and we talked there at the desk for a few minutes. He said, "Come on in my office, and I'll get you the tickets." So we went in the office, and he says, "Go ahead and sit down." So I sat down, and it's a very plush office, very beautiful place, and he was fiddling around with his desk, and I looked over top of his desk, and I noticed that there was a picture there. And this picture was kind of odd, I thought. It was a country scene that had a fence post right in the middle, and a turtle was sitting upon the top of the fence post. Now that, curiosity, you know, I thought to myself, So I tried to ask him as politely and sheepishly as I could, you know, "That's kind of an unusual picture. What does it mean? What significance is it to you?" And he said, "Listen," he says, "every time I write something or do something in my life that I think is significant and start feeling good about myself and proud of myself," he said, "that picture reminds me that the turtle didn't get on top of the post without somebody's help." And he said, "I didn't get where I'm at today without the Lord's help." And I thought to myself, and neither have I. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for who you are. Well, this psalm tells us five basic things. Make a joyful noise. That shout with joy to the Lord. This verse carries that kind of weight. It's proclaim with the force of a trumpet. The Lord God Almighty, make a joyful noise. Not just make a joyful noise unto the Lord. Proclaim the Lord Jesus Christ as loud and as long and as strong as you can. That's what the psalmist is telling me. The world needs to hear that, does it not? And if we're not going to say it and we're not going to proclaim it, who is? Well, that's our job. That's us. Shout. Proclaim it. And then the second one says, serve the Lord with gladness. You know, it doesn't say serve an organization. There are good organizations to serve in, aren't there? There are. It doesn't say serve the church. Now, I think, you know, the Jesus died for the church, and so it's a high priority on his list. But it doesn't say that. It doesn't even say serve the politician that you put into office. And certainly doesn't say serve the pastor or the preacher. But what does it say? It says serve the Lord. Serve the Lord with gladness. You'll never go wrong doing that, friends. Never. No matter what kind of situation you find yourself in, if you can finally get yourself to that place where your heart is set upon the Lord, and that heart service manifests itself in overt actions unto him, that's the best place in the world. Thirdly, it says, know ye that the Lord, he is God, and not we ourselves. Isn't that a contemporary theme? This old world that we live in right now denies that central truth altogether. When you start talking about God, they don't want to hear about it. When you talk about Jesus, they don't want to hear about it. You know, on the television screen last night, we watched an advertisement. An advertisement. Somebody paid for this advertisement to be put on. It was Time Life something. It wasn't Boogaloo 50s music. They do that too. But this was Bob Hope. And you could get all these CDs for about Bob Hope's shows and about his life and all those kind of things. And they showed you, you know, little clips to whet your appetite so you'd want to buy this stuff, you know. Send in 1995 for the next 50 years, you know, and you can have them. It wasn't that bad. Maybe 5 months. Whatever. Anyway. So they had that on there. And my wife and I said something, you know, about, you know, isn't how funny how television has changed so much? There's nobody who closes their program like Red Skelton, who says, you know, God bless you. In the shows themselves, you know, people would thank the Lord for something or whatever. Now, they don't have them very much. So we talked about that for a minute. So after that advertisement, my wife and I said something about, well, you know, it would be kind of fun to get those CDs. That'd be kind of fun to watch those old programs. And then after the program, guess what they had? A disclaimer that this program and the views espoused there don't necessarily reflect the views of this station. And I thought to myself, what on earth? They should have had a proclaimer that we're glad to bring you this program. It's probably the only decent one we're going to have all day. You probably would do well in buying these CDs, turning off our station altogether and watching them. The world has that disclaimer, doesn't it? Well, fourthly, it says, come before him. Enter his gates with thanksgiving, verse 4. Thanksgiving. Prerequisite, you're bringing something to the Lord. It's something of thanksgiving. What can you be thankful for? Well, sometimes we might have to sit down and be quiet for a minute or two and do a little reflection, but I think we'd all find something that we could be thankful for. And you need to bring that with you. What does that reflect? Attitude. If you come in with an unthankful heart, you're not going to be able to be receiving what God has for you. You've come into His court. You've come before Him. The blood of Christ has allowed you to have that entrance. It's a great opportunity, but you've come pouting and moping and... No, don't do that. If you do that, you're wasting your time. Come with thanksgiving. And then it says in verse 4 again, the fifth one, it says, be thankful. That's a command. It's amazing. We can choose to be thankful, or we can choose to be sullen. We can choose to be happy, or we can choose to be grumpy. Now, I would interject there that some of our personalities are grumpier than others. Some of our personalities are more buoyant and affable than others. You got that in your DNA. That's just who you are. You look at the glass and you see it's half empty or half full or whatever. That's you. And then, of course, the apple doesn't fall very far from the tree, does it? So how your mother and your father instill in you the values and those kind of things that you have, that's going to be reflective in your life as well. So there are those things there as well. So some of us have those things. Our DNA, just grumpy. And then our apple tree fallenness, grumpy. And so when we get in some kind of conflict with our wives and the person that loves you most of all, and she says something like, okay, Earl, stop it. Oh, it cuts to the quick, doesn't it? She's saying, you're just like your dad. And I'm thinking to myself, no way, Jose. I'm not anything like my dad. Of course, I'm lying to myself. So really, actually, we have the choice. We can do that ourselves. We can be thankful, or we can do something else. You know, I've learned a long, long time ago, we almost just about do anything we want to do. I remember there was a lady that I knew here at Calvary many, many years ago, and she did have a curvature of the spine, and it was hard for her to sit. And she told me, you know, Pastor, I'd love to come and sit. Your sermons are dynamic. Your sermons, you're just a wild man. You know, blessings of God flow. She didn't say that. She just said, I can't come because the pew hurts my back. And I thought, well, okay, that's probably true. She did have that physical anomaly. So for many, many years, I kind of excused her and thought, well, that's, you know, she'd love to be here, just can't be here. And then I found out one day that she could make a pilgrimage from here to Shipshawana, sit in the car for an hour and a half, 2 hours, and then go up to that flea market and mess around up there all day long, looking at little things somebody made out of a tin can. Looking at some kind of a thing that somebody made out of a gourd. Looking at somebody found an old board on the street and they painted something. Looking at all that stuff all day long, come back to the house and just be exuberant with all her purchases and all those kind of things. And she couldn't be here. Too hard to be here. I concluded she was where she wanted to be when she wanted to be there. And I think that's true of us all. We can be thankful. It is a command. You need to be thankful. Are you? Heavenly Father, we thank you for all your love and your mercy in our lives. We thank you for who you are, that you have made us, not we ourselves. You're God. And we thank you, Father God, that you have bought us out of this slave market of sin. You've paid the price for us in Christ Jesus. You have set us free. We can serve you with gladness in our heart, or we can be disobedient children and miss the blessings you have for us. We have that awesome power to say yes or no to you. We have that awesome power to be obedient children, sheep of your pasture. Or we can be rebellious. And you've already prescribed the prescription for blessing. You've already prescribed the prescription for disobedience. And knowing the blessing and knowing the prescription of the results of disobedience, we still choose disobedience. And that's the sin that overwhelms us, so easily besets us. The temptations that come to us that are so attractive to us. But Lord, you are Lord. And we don't have to succumb to those things, to those allurements. We can serve you with gladness. We can be a servant in whom you will say, well done, good and faithful servant. Lord, help us to be thankful. Thankful unto you. Not only today, but from every day hereafter. Lord, if decisions need to be made even in this service this morning, openly and publicly, I pray they'll be done so to honor your name. Lord, we know that they will be responding to your Holy Spirit. Your Holy Spirit's talking to them, speaking to them. Woo them unto yourself. Lord, claim that life for you. Raise it up. Clean it up. Set it on the solid rock. Point it in the right direction. And empower it to serve you. For these things I pray in Jesus' name. Amen.